Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
If there's anything I can describe my past week, it'll be this.
Oh boy.
Yep. Yep, pretty much.
Okay, that was tamer than I was expecting, so I'm actually grateful. And Tellius Tyler.
Oh, such an exciting 2 weeks. I'm glad to be back. Nothing happened week one, and then week two...
Everything. Yeah. Basically, last week, for those of you who are wondering, was, of course, 4th of July weekend here in the States. And between Thursday, which was 4th of July, and the Friday after that, we were all with families. We just decided we just needed to take the week. And honestly, nothing really big happened. But now a lot of things have happened. And a certain game that we wanted to talk about last week, well, we didn't get to. So we actually brought back our old friend, Captain Toad Taylor.
Hey, thanks for having me again. It's been a while, and it is a pleasure to be back. I had to overcome my my fears, as Captain Toad does, and get back on the pod. And very quickly, I want to give a quick shout-out. DK DJ was on a couple weeks ago. Congratulations to getting engaged. Nintendo Nicola, very exciting. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, my DK DJ got engaged, too. I like Nintendo Nicola. It's perfect over the 4th of July holiday. So it's been an exciting time in the New Jersey chapter of NT.
The New Jersey chapter. Yeah. But did they get married on the shore?
that's a great question.
Yes.
Remains to be seen.
We will surely wait.
Oh, thank
that was
you.
Weak. Oh,
okay. what can I say? Our puns are a beach.
Oh, this is going to be a punny episode. You wait.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, let's make a splash. All right. So, like I said, we got a lot to talk about tonight, and we're going to start off big time with what have you been playing? And we're going to do this one a little differently tonight. We're also going to talk about what you've been playing, but we actually brought on Captain Toad Taylor at the request of Tellius Tyler to talk about Super Mario Maker 2, because he has now had 2 weeks to play this game, and we are all eager to hear his thoughts and what he's been doing in the game. So Captain Toad, take it away.
Awesome. Yeah, and of course I will, before I go into Super Mario Maker 2, which I have been playing consistently nonstop the last 2 weeks, it's been a blast. I wanted to say, of course, I haven't got to share the same excitement for Banjo-Kazooie. So of course I've been playing Smash with the new update. Love it. Can't wait for Banjo. You already knew that, but had to put that out there. Also I've been playing Yoshi's Woolly World, which I've had since it came out. And never played it until recently.
Boy, that sounds familiar, Tyler.
Yeah, exactly.
And I told Tyler that I was playing it before in the anticipation waiting for Mario Maker, and he laughed and he's like, we could talk all day about your backgrounds with it. But no, super fun game. So I've been playing those two, and then yes, Mario Maker came out. And you know, little callback. I think we all remember when I was back in January. You know, there was a certain thing I noticed. Nintendo had this pattern. His reviews came out for this game. It got like 9.5 out of 10 from IGN, you know, 8.75 Game Informer, 9 10s for most. I don't think it's coincidence that Super was before Mario Maker 2. It could have named it Mario Maker 2. They could have named it pretty much anything, but they put the word Super in there. And I think that is a direct correlation to why this game is so excellent.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. I mean, we kind of called that.
Yeah, it was a brilliant move by Nintendo. It is super. It's fantastic. I love it. I actually had a weird playthrough with the first one. That same deal. I was like kind of moving a lot and didn't get to play it as it came out, even though I bought it the day of. So when I actually got to play it, the servers weren't that active online, and I didn't really get the full experience out of it. I was playing a lot of Smash 4. So this one, I've really kind of sat down and just fully indulged. I've gotten to share levels with Tyler and play his, which is nice. If there's one minor gripe about this game, it's that sharing levels isn't as seamless and easy as it should be. But, you know, we kind of had to search for the course IDs and enter them, which is a little bit annoying. But other than that, I mean, this game is, like, perfect. Making the levels is super easy. endless creativity in every single different, you have the original Mario Bros, the NES, and then, the nostalgia just overflows for me in Super Mario Bros. 3 and Super Mario World. And there's just, they added a bunch of new things you can do, slopes and different enemies and different, requirements to beat the levels. So, you can, have to collect, X amount of coins or smash this amount of Goombas. So it's cool that they added those. And then, you have the New Super Mario Bros. U, and then the 3D World Edition. I mean, the 3D World, Super Mario 3D World for the Wii was one of my favorite games. Like, instant classic, absolutely obsessed with it. And the fact that they got all that in there with the cat suit and everything really makes this fun.
I haven't gotten to jump into the 3D world level making yet. I don't know why. It's just kind of intimidating to me, but I've watched some levels on in there and they seem just magical. Like they're so cool, the stuff that you can do in the 3D world levels. And I don't know if you feel this way, Taylor, but the one of my favorite things is the puzzle solving of building a stage, not beating the stage, but
Yes.
actually building the stage. Like there, I sent you a few levels where I think the one I really liked was find the 6, 10 giant coins that were hidden throughout the level. And I had so much, there's so many issues trying to make sure that the coins that I hid were obtainable without having to, jump into a pit or and resetting and losing all your progress. And a lot of that kind of carries through on other stages as well, where you have an idea, but either an enemy will walk off into an abyss early, and you have to figure out, okay, how can I keep the enemy there? Or for me on that level with the 10 coins, when I was playtesting it myself, I found that I was so tempted to just run. And there was a segment I made where you have to bounce off of Koopas to get to a very specific area. And then if you mess up the timing, you have to go through a pipe and try again. So
Right.
I found that if I put a block right before the edge of the ledge, I would stop on my own. I would just think, okay, wait, I have to slow down here. And then it would give you the time to process, okay, I have to bounce off of these Koopas instead of just saying, oh, I'm running, I'm running, I'm running. Oh, shoot, I missed it.
Yeah, that was perfectly what I was, going to describe with my experience, because I, did the opposite, and that was the first one I did. I was like, yeah, 3D worlds in this game, let's make a level. This is going to be amazing. And I had my own idea from the get-go. And then I noticed the same thing as I was building it, and then I would like play it. I was like, wow, this part was way quicker than I spent like half hour in this little segment. I was like, wow, I just blew through that in like 2 seconds. I got to do something different here. Or I noticed I was playing with the surfaces and the enemies, and I had all these like booze and like donut blocks, and that were like this giant maze. And then when I went to play it, before I even got to that segment, it all fell apart. And I was like, oh, I didn't even. And it was kind of fun to kind of challenge it and reupholster it. And then when I did have the final product, and I know there's always room for improvement. That's, the beauty of this game too. You find new things, and yeah, it was really a blast. I spent a lot of time with a 3D world, and also I love the addition of Koopa Kart. So there's a Koopa sitting in a go-kart, and you can knock him off and then ride the go-kart throughout the level. So I found that and made half this one level just riding this go-kart, and not even getting to the end isn't that difficult, but just riding the cart was so fun.
It was
And
sick, yeah.
kind of seeing the end, I have like all these enemies like kind of blowing up in your face, but like, if you time your jump right, you really don't get hit by any of them. So that was kind of like fun to play with, which wasn't even a possibility or thought in the first game, or what I thought was even going to be in this game. So yeah, it's really, there's endless replayability and fun with creating. But ever since I made that and then another level, with the Wii U, I've been predominantly playing the story mode, which I also love that they threw in a story mode. Yeah, feel free to chime in, guys, if you've had anything similar or
It's such a complete product compared to the last game, which I liked a
Yes.
lot. I mean, similar to you, I did play it when the servers were up, but I never really got into the community. I think I built like 4 or 5 stages and then I was done. I mean, I enjoyed it for about a week and then I just hung it up.
Exactly
But
what
there
I
was no
did.
story in that one, and there was no multiplayer in that one. And although I haven't gotten to experience the multiplayer yet, and I've seen video of people trying to play online, and apparently, as of course is tradition with Nintendo, the netcode is terrible. The story mode makes it such a more complete package, and as does the multiplayer. I saw that the, you know, some videos of the netcode, as of course is tradition with Nintendo, is not great. And there's a lot of laggy videos online that are hilarious and just, but the package is so complete. And I just really have enjoyed both creating and playing. I have to, you know, every episode I have to give Celeste a shout out. The Matt Thorson, Thorson, the creator of Celeste, also has made Mario Maker levels, and they're brilliant, as you would expect. Extremely difficult, but it's very cool that they are. They high-profile people are making some really good levels. My favorites are the speedrunning levels, where you just got to hold right and run, and you got to time your jumps, and that's all there is to it. The speedrunning levels, where you just got to hold right, run and jump, and time your jumps, are phenomenal. And there's so much, it's simple to play, but the chaos around you makes them such an experience. Like, I love seeing the creative ideas people come up with these levels. And I actually played one that somebody set it to the theme of the Gourmet Race from Kirby. Oh, and it worked perfectly. Like, you could,
that's cool.
I haven't gotten to the music editor yet. I don't know where that is even, but people, you can change the music. And I don't know if it's Mario Paint style where you can actually make the music. I have to really, you know, I haven't even explored that whole element of the game yet, but it was phenomenal. It was so cool.
Yeah, I just want to point out as well, like, the music itself, like, some people make, like, Al Delfino, Super Mario Sunshine, even, like, from Odyssey. Like, they took out so much great music from the Nintendo library and put it into this game. It's, like, it's pretty dang amazing, honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do agree with Captain Toad that the level sharing was a little difficult. I followed you, though, afterwards, and I think I could just go to my follows, and whenever you update a level or upload a level, I'll see it.
Right.
So there is some workaround, just that was a pain initially to figure out, okay, where's my maker ID, and where is my course ID, and, like, there's just a lot
and it's
to
like,
figure out.
A menu within a menu on a screen, which should all be on the same screen or on two different screens, like the course bot and the other one, and then like you have to hit Y and then find it. And it was when we were first trying to share, Tyler was like, "It's a little tricky, you know, just a heads up, but like here it is." And in my head, I immediately was like, "This isn't gonna be tricky. I'll get it." And then I was fumbling with it, and I was like, "Yeah, this is trickier than Boo Serve and Mario Tennis. I can't find it."
So tricky.
I had to text him back and be like, "All right, you were right. Help me. I can't share this level." And then once I found it, I was like, "Oh yeah, of course, Nintendo, thank you." But other than that little hiccup, it is like perfect. It's a great, like you said, complete package and everything.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I know Todd said it's not your type of game, but I think Will might really enjoy this game because I know you're our Mario guy.
I mean, I'll definitely will be getting it sometime later down the line. I mean, eventually once they put in the update patch where you guys can play with local friends with your online friends online and hopefully not too much lag. But yeah, like I've been just seeing like how these levels are created, especially like the speed runs, like the short and sweet ones, which is like very compact, which I appreciate. And yeah, just the creativeness of it all is like, it's pretty amazing to the point like people make like full-fledged calculators, computers, or even like Pong levels from Mario Maker. Is like, it's pretty amazing. And plus, as you said from before, like I think like yeah, all these different creators like, from WayForward, Game Explain made a Super Meat Boy based level. It's like all these creativity is just yeah, like Nintendo. Okay, yeah, we could make you a game to just let you have a toolbox of Super Mario Maker levels and like okay, go nuts. And yeah, people just went nuts with it basically.
Yeah, we'll have to plug in. I'll plug in my and Captain Toad's maker IDs on our Twitter. Again, I don't know it off the top of my head. I'll have to look it up again. But, you guys can download some of our levels. I think I've only uploaded 3 or 4 so far. But I have a couple that are in the works. And I have one that I am so excited about. I haven't started building yet. But it's going to be in the 3D world idea. And if you've ever played Donkey Kong Country 2, there is a level that is my inspiration for it where you're on a roller coaster. And
oh yes, let's go.
Yes, that so I won't amazing. Give you anything more than that, but I hope I can pull it off because I think it'd be a really cool level.
I still demand an NEP level.
That's a great idea too, but we have to come together and brainstorm.
Agreed.
What our NEP level would be. You know, we have to get a Will to do like a marina art somewhere.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, it seems like you guys are really having a lot of fun with the game, which is good. I mean, I like Captain Toad over there mentioned a lot of positive reviews, including a 9.5 from IGN. So I'm pretty sure the first one got only an 8. So that's quite an improvement. So, and of course, if you are listening at home are playing Mario Maker or Super Mario Maker 2, do let us know on our Twitter handles and tweet at us your Maker ID so we can download your levels. Except for me, because I don't have the game. So you'll have to settle for these three. Anyway, so Tyler, aside from Mario Maker 2, sorry, Super Mario Maker
Yes.
2, what
Right.
have you been playing?
You have to get the super right because, you
Super.
know, shout out to January where we called out that super was the key to making games good.
It'll be in the
I
top 10 next. When you have the year review this year, you'll know.
Yeah, oh, you will
Yeah.
know if they're all going to be super. I have also been playing Super Smash Bros. So, yeah, I was down with the family. You always play Super Smash Bros. With your family. And let me tell you guys, my Ryu and Ken is pretty nice. My Ryu and Ken is pretty nice. I was waxing my bros with those guys. They haven't played very much, so I really shouldn't be bragging. But it was a lot of fun to continue to play Smash Bros. I don't have a new character for you this week, sadly. Did I talk about Toon Link yet? Because
No.
I okay. So Toon
No.
Link will be the new character that I've been messing around with this week because I guess 2 weeks ago I was playing as him, and he is like the left out Link in this game because Young Link, when he returned, it was so hype. He was my favorite character in Melee, and
Wait, stop. Stop. Did you just you just said Melee?
yeah, it's in Melee.
It's
Okay.
Melee.
When I'm on with Captain Toad, when I'm on with Captain Toad, I have to say Melee. That's just
Melee.
how we do it.
That
Oh
sounded so
gosh,
natural, I
here we
didn't even
go.
notice there was an issue.
Oh, I noticed.
I'm
Melee.
sure our audience would notice too, but
Melee.
I
I
was like,
noticed
yeah,
it.
go on. What's
We always
what
call it
about
Melee.
Melee? Yeah, please proceed.
Just as a gag, we always call it Melee. So
Oh
yeah, Melee.
gosh.
We were playing Melee. Young Link was my guy. And then in Breath of the Wild, Link got a whole new revamp. It's a whole new character. It's extremely cool. And then there's Toon Link, who is he's the same Toon Link as he's always been. But I don't know. I really enjoy him. Maybe it's because he's the odd guy out. But he's very fast compared to the other Links, as you know, people who've played him would know. He's kind of like the more, I want to say, well-rounded character, whereas Young Link's projectiles are just unbelievable, and regular Link plays a kind of tricky game with his remote bomb. Toon Link is kind of your more traditional projectile kind of bait and punish character. He can do some damage in the air. He can do some decent camping. He's more well-rounded, I would say, than all the other Links. He's probably the worst of them competitively, but he's a lot of fun. I enjoy the art style with him even more in Ultimate. I think just the kind of the brightness being greater than it was in the previous games. Toon Link really stands out, as does all like his bomb explosions. His animations are really gorgeous, and I think Young Link was probably still my favorite in this game. But I really enjoy using all the Links, and Toon Link is no exception. So yeah, you give him a look sometime.
I'm still
And
trying to
that's
get
all I
over
can play.
Melee.
Oh yeah, Melee.
Oh
Yeah,
gosh,
he,
Melee.
you know, yeah, with the quality Melee. And I've played some Dr. Mario World, but I will leave that to you, Tom.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Will, how about you? And remember what I said, I have my finger on the mute button.
Oh,
And it
don't worry,
does
I'll keep
work.
this thing as PG-13 as possible. You don't worry.
No, PG-13.
Have I
I
ever
want
told you about our Lord and
PG. I
Savior Life
want
from
you to
Home?
contain yourself.
Oh,
PG.
have I ever told you about our Lord and Savior Life in
No, Will, please go on. I don't know. This is new to me.
Hometown? So, if anyone has been joining me on my Twitter antics, everyone pretty much know, and the game is currently out right now, I have been playing our Life and Hometown game for Nintendo Switch, Sen and Kagura Peach Bar, which is basically the Sen and Kagura, but basically sexy pinball style. And
You
how do
didn't
I even
cross the line there. You
explain?
didn't cross the line there.
Careful. Watch it. Fingers on the mute button.
Oh jeez, I'm sorry, Todd. You remind me of Maximilian Dude when he first got experience to Southern Cargo. He was like on the trigger because of
Yeah, well, I'm already liking this guy, so watch it.
So how do I explain this game? Is like, well, it's basically sexy pinball in the best way possible, and like just like the script of Seren Kagura. If you have ever played Seren Kagura of the previous games like Peach Ball or any of the prior games before this, like then you pretty much know the off the wall bonkers humor to the point is like it's so funny. I laugh my butt off at the same time. Like some people can call it a pure schlock, but it's like. To the point, it's so bad, it's good schlock. I'm sorry, like
Schlock.
because there's like actually a moment like There's actually a wordplay pun. I gotta give props to Marvelous and XC Games on their localization, but the script, like, can you throw a long sword? Sure, we can. You know, shuriken and sure you can is like the wordplay is like, oh, the puns. And yeah, gameplay wise on pinball it's as expected from a pinball game. It's very intense. It's very hectic as always. It's just a pure sensory overload. And I mean that in all sense of the word. It's just a sensory overload. And the casts themselves are like, I'm kind of only sad it's only like the same cast as in Reflections, but I can understand why they do this. It still is like generally a budget title, but I kind of wish they had more girls like Homura or Ryobi, like the other girls. Just add a bit more flavor to it. But these five girls is a good taste in it. And personally, for me, I love Yuumi. Yuumi is great. She is a great princess. Thank you very much. Just that Snow Queen. And yeah, like if you and of course anyone who has seen my Twitter pictures, it's pretty intense. If anything else, and like yeah. Like, if you love your fan service, then this thing is pretty much got it in spades. Like, I'm currently doing my review right now, and there are some moments that I do have to criticize. For example, it's only like two tables, that so like it's a little limiting here in some departments, which I will explain more in my review as soon as possible. I'm currently trying to finish this thing up, but overall, if I have to like give a quick summary overall, like it's a great package if you want your sexy pinball games on a Nintendo console of all things. And if you love Seren Kagura, if you love Nintendo Switch, then I say it's a good combination. And yeah, if you just make sure you don't play it around nearby, or unless you have no shame like myself.
You
But
honestly
yeah.
had me. You had me at Snow Queen Princess Pinball. I'm in. I'm in. I mean, there's a sexy snow princess out there in a
Stop
pinball game. I'm
it.
100% in. Like,
And
yeah,
stop.
get me.
And there's also a literal like. This one character, Ryobi, is just like, she is the pure definition of an M, an M and a female dog. I'm using the PG terms just so
Yeah,
you,
you
or for
better be using
Todd, so
PG terms.
yes.
I was about ready to
And a
mute you.
female duck. All right, Todd, what have you been playing?
Yeah, I just want to know that I never want to hear pinball described that way again, because that
Have you
is
not
not.
seen retro
It
pinball machines?
was a pinball game.
Seriously, have you not seen retro pinball machines?
And muting Will. Ah, so much better. So, what was that question you asked? Oh, what have I been playing, Tyler? Oh, allow me to unmute Will and tell you. Because I have been playing a lot of things, and in my attempts to somehow survive until next Friday when Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 comes out, which will hold me over until Fire Emblem Three Houses comes out. And I'm slowly failing because I just got done with Phoenix Wright Spirit of Justice, which I might have to redo my rankings on that I did a few years ago before Spirit of Justice comes out, because this game is just too good. I did a Turnabout Time Traveler, which I don't know how they did it, but they actually made time set travel sound both cool, epic, and still made a lot more sense than Avengers Endgame. But that's another topic entirely. So then I've been playing, of course, Heroes. I'm getting ready for the next Tempest Trials, where I'll have over 400 orbs by the time that's done. And because I refuse to be Will and partake in this fan service bikini banners. Yeah, laugh all you want, Will. I still have the moral high ground. And then a Dr. Mario World came out, which I'll talk about in a second. But I decided that since there's no way I'll be able to last until next Friday without having a dedicated experience, and obviously Mario World won't last forever, I've decided to go back and start over a playthrough of Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh,
Really?
yeah, well,
such a perfect game.
it is a perfect game. And remember, I was the one who reviewed it for the website, so I actually did a kind of like a blitzing run through where I was just trying to get to the end of the game so I could review it, and within 2 weeks, and I did that. But Will, when I'm just not insult, but I liked that Will, took the time and got like all the stars, and he got that super cool picture at the end,
100%. Yes, 100%.
100%. And so I want to, I know I won't be able to do it before Marvel Ultimate Alliance comes out, but I want to re-experience the game because
It's worth it.
it was a lot, it was really fun. It really was a perfect game. So. Or as close to perfect as you can get in a recent Mario title. And oh, of course, it has Super in the name. So there's that. And
Again, yeah, sounds right.
yeah, sounds right. And of course, like I said, I have been playing Dr. Mario World, and I am pleasantly surprised by how deep this game is, how much variety this game is. It's already better than Super Mario Run, which I guess technically breaks the Super trend, because that game was terrible, as Tyler likes to remind us every once in a while.
I enjoyed it the first week it was out, but yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah. So, but this game, which doesn't have Super in the title, actually is really, really fun. I was actually playing it while I was waiting on Tyler to get here, and I am playing as Dr. Bowser, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but I guess anything is possible in the Mario world.
It's all about Dr. Peach and data mine Dr. Diddy Kong. That's
really
yes.
Wow. But yeah, I am enjoying it. I am almost to the end of the first world right now, about two levels away, and I've been playing some of the side missions too. I have not done any of the microtransactions, which I've heard are bad, but honestly, I haven't. Don't do that.
No, because I was actually curious about that as well. Like, I've heard like something like it was a bit more aggressive than usual, like compared to Fire Emblem Heroes. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's saying something, because if you think about it, Heroes is kind of aggressive at times, but. I don't know. I haven't felt the need to even look at the microtransactions outside of looking and seeing, oh yeah, these are how you get diamonds, which can help you restart levels and continue levels and blah blah blah. But if you play it like Fire Emblem Heroes, where you like pick it up and put it down every like 20 minutes or so, you're gonna have a fun time. So right now, I'm gonna do two worlds at least before I review it for the website. So I'm already calling dibs. But I'm going to do two worlds. But right now, I'm saying it's a solid 4 out of 5. And it might even get higher. But I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. But this was a surprisingly good game. I didn't expect to be this addicted. Like, I was waiting to watch a show last night. And then I turn the show on, and I look at my Mario game, and I go, okay, one more level. And then it's like, no, one more level after that. You're like, that's the good stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm happy that they have multiplayer in it, because I remember I said I was concerned they didn't advertise it, and you figured they would have it. It's Dr. Mario.
Well, you would hope.
Yeah, but and you know, it works. It works pretty well. The difference in the game of only needing to match 3 works on the mobile device.
Yeah,
and the idea that you can actually move parts of the pills, I don't know if that was in any of the Dr. Mario's after the original one, because that's the only one I've played.
Not to my knowledge, but I could be wrong.
But I like it on this. It's very smart for the mobile devices.
Yeah,
it's different, but it's still Dr. Mario nonetheless.
Yeah, and it's of course different than all the other mobile Nintendo games, so... That's the variety factor, which we all appreciate. And now we'll have to become friends, Tyler, so I can battle you and beat you like I do in Mario Kart.
Well, I just need to point out one more time. You've never beaten me in Mario Kart.
Yes, I have. You even admitted it. That I did beat you.
You in one battle, one individual battle. You never won a battle Grand Prix. You won maybe one individual event one time. Maybe.
It was not. It was one.
Maybe. I don't remember. But,
oh yeah, you don't remember, which proves that I'm right, because I clearly remember.
No, I don't remember you winning. I'm trying to imply that you didn't have. Anyway, I'm not so sure this Dr. Mario game will make a lot of money, despite it being good. I don't really see it as a... I think this might have... It's hard to say. It might have been better if they charged you 99 cents for it. But
maybe.
How it goes.
It does. I agree with that. But yeah, it has. It screams that... like freemium addictive, like, you know, I could see Andros Alex in 6 months, you know, losing all of his money on a game like this, like he did on Heroes. Like,
that was classic.
That was really funny. Yeah, it's got such, I mean, I know it's a mobile game, but it screams that like mobile addictive feeling. I played after the first two levels, I was like, yep, I can't play this at work, because I know if I whip it out once, I will not work ever again. Yeah. Like, it's just so easy to just pick up and then not put down.
Yeah, I'm definitely there.
I could see people spending money, not by, you know, just by the sheer amount of, like, you know, just don't want to ever end it and just keep churning through. But yeah, we'll time will only tell. But well done. I'm glad they're continuing, you know, with the Nintendo games, because, you know, they released this, like, they had Dr. Luigi on the Wii U, and it feels silly if this game's like on the Switch or something. So it's nice that they're still giving the mobile games and they're high quality.
And then of course we still got Mario Kart Tour, which potentially could come out this summer, and Pokemon Masters, which is coming out this summer. So it's going to be a good time for mobile games. So yeah, good stuff. All right. Well, as we noted, the last week, much to our surprise, has been absolutely full of news, and so we absolutely have to talk about every single topic at length. Or else. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And to start off, we're going to kick it with Tyler's favorite topic, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie!
Yes!
The game he's so eagerly waiting for. Eagerly. Desperately. Epically.
Yeah. Oh, I'm ready for it. I am absolutely ready for it. I saw Spider-Man Far From Home over the break, and it was godlike. And Sonic movie... Todd, you have bad taste. I'm just going to
You
say
have
it.
Bad taste.
You
I,
have bad taste.
You are blinded by the light, and the light is Marvel's brainwashing.
Spider-Man was excellent.
Thank you.
It was a good movie, and it was a great movie, but he said it was like a perfect 10 out of 10, and I'm like, what movie were you watching?
I mean, maybe it's a 9 out of 10. Like, yeah. I could go down.
I'm wearing you
nine.
Down. I'm wearing you down.
But I would still say it was a 10. I enjoyed it. Even the beginning. You're right. I could see how you'd say it was slow. I disagreed. But you know what's not slow? The Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which the director had like that, the weirdest statement about it. He said, when like I agreed with the fans that the character looked bad, and so did our producer. He also agreed. Like, well, why
really?
Did you release the trailer then?
Yeah.
Like, why? Okay, you know what? This is horrible, but you know, let's just release it and see how it goes. And then no, that was such a cop out. That being said, he says that the fans will be thrilled with the new design. So I just. It looks so many fan mock-ups look kind of good that I do think that it's going to be. I think that they'll probably get Sonic to look good enough.
It's just here's the thing. Here's the problem. It's just like Tyler said. You had the producer and the director of the film, two of the highest-ranking people on the film, saying, "Oh yeah, we didn't like the look either." Then there is no way outside of a literal publisher, which is who
Paramount?
Is making the movie?
It's Paramount.
Paramount. So barring a Paramount override. They literally could have changed it. They could have said, hey, this is not looking good. They honestly should have had that look down before the trailer even got made. Because think of all the money that they spent making the movie with that model that now has to be redone in full. That's why there was such a long delay. And from November to February, which honestly could have gone longer. So you're telling me that, oh, yeah, we didn't like it, and then the fan outcry happened, and, you know, oh, it hit the fan. Oh, yeah, it hit the fan. And then the fan hit you back. And I've been seeing – sorry, I want to get to this one point, Will. I've been seeing a lot of comment sections actually complaining, not about the character model, but that they're going to redo the film basically because of, quote, Twitter comments and fanboys. That's not the issue here. We're not complaining for complaining's sake. We are complaining because this literally does not look like any version of Sonic in any medium ever. Comics, animes, cartoons, video games, period. It looks like no Sonic we have ever seen, and that's not a good thing. Small changes? Fine. Can't do the certain kinds of shoes? Fine. Have to make him look furry because he's an actual animal? All right, I'll give you that. But what we got... was not Sonic in the least. We're paying to see this movie, potentially. I'm not, but, you know, Tyler might. So you're telling us that we have to spend our money on a movie that looks nothing like Sonic the Hedgehog. That's not right. And apparently somebody agreed because they're like, okay, we can either make a lot of money if we do this right or make little money and get ridiculed for it and be called the next Super Mario Brothers movie. So you tell me.
Yeah, it's just... Like, I'm glad they have some confidence they found doing the redesign that people are actually gonna be very happy with this redesign. But I have my skepticism regarding to Hollywood and, of course, Paramount. If you knew this thing was gonna be bad, then why the heck they released it in the first place? Like, you have, like, after all the years that Sonic has existed prior to this movie, like, you had so many designs you could base on it, and you couldn't take reference to one of them, at least. Like, yeah, and like that first image of it is like, that is just a freaking fursuit. It's not Sonic at all. And yeah, now we're getting like, okay, don't worry, we learned a mistake, it's gonna be better. Yeah, after you screw it the first time, I'm not holding my breath if it's gonna be better. So yeah, I got burned once. You're not gonna burn me again. That's what my me anyway.
Here. I'll use a reference that Tyler will truly appreciate. Recently, some concept art came out for Mysterio from Far From Home. Other examples of how the look could have been. Now, if you look at the movie version of Mysterio, that's not exactly comic accurate.
No.
But it looks enough like Mysterio that you understand, again, the real world quote-unquote look. And then some of the other concept arts had a more comic accurate look at it would have been okay, but it honestly worked in the context of the film. We don't mind advancement. We just don't want whatever the heck that Sonic was. Alright?
I mean,
there's
a
difference.
As long as it was a fishbowl, I'm okay with. As long as I have a fishbowl.
There you go. As long as it has a fishbowl.
It looked like in South Park when they had the sexual harassment panda episode and they went to the Misfit mascot land. He looked like one of those characters. Yeah. Like he was like made and then they like didn't know what to do with him and they was like, you got sent off to a resort because he didn't belong. And that was the first thing I thought of when I saw him. And I was kind of surprised that they came back and delayed it. But honestly, I think it'll be for the better. I'm definitely going to see it. Come around your birthday, Tyler. It'll be perfect.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Is my birthday on a Thursday next year? Because that's a midnight
what day is
launch.
Your birthday?
February 9th. Somebody
checking
get
now.
On this.
I'm on it.
Sunday. It's on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it'll be a birthday weekend event then. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be funny. Yeah.
Just if you go with him, Captain Toad, you know what to do. You know, you buy him popcorn, you buy him drinks, and then when his hands are on the armrest, you duct tape him in. Make sure he cannot leave. And then if he tries to close his eyes, you do the bro thing and you just ply his eyes open. And then he's like, no, that's not how Eggman looks. Shut up, Tyler, watch the movie. No, why does Sonic's teeth look like that? Oh, the horror!
The teeth is where get me. I love a good set of immaculate teeth, but not on a hedgehog. It's very weird. So.
The legs. The legs are still getting
the legs
me.
Are weird too.
The legs are
just
weird.
So you guys know, my younger brother, I can't. Rex Rich got me.
Oh my gosh.
Sonic the Hedgehog socks, two pairs, and today I was wearing. They're blue, as you would expect, and Sonic is fully drawn on the ones I'm wearing today. He's only like he's not colored in. There's no lines, but it's his face. Like you can see, it was very cool, very awesome. But I was wearing all black and with my white sneakers when we were playing tennis, and I had to pick my socks. And I have 1,000 black socks. I could have gone with a normal tough looking outfit, but no, I had to rock the blue Sonic socks, and I looked like an idiot. But it was awesome, totally.
So
I was great at tennis too. It was because of the socks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course.
So you're saying you love Sonic?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it is. I'm thinking about going into work tomorrow with them on.
I dare you.
Attached to these.
Pixar didn't happen.
I'm going to roll them up too, so people can see. But
all right, moving on. Moving on to another surprise, Shantae, who got an animated opening for her new game, which is coming out. Isn't it this year? I think it's this year.
Yes. They still haven't given a release date yet.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure. I'm not sure we're going to the year
now. But it's multi-platform, and it'll be, of course, be on Switch. But speaking of the Switch, when this certain anime opening happened, there is a shot in Shantae's room. Blink and you'll miss it. The windows look like the Smash symbol.
Fake news.
It's not fake news.
So
it is not fake news.
I think it's fake news, too.
It has to be real.
I'm sorry. And sorry, Todd, but I have a bone to pick with you because the way you said Shantae is Shantae.
Sorry.
Shantae, Mario, Mario, Melee, Melee. All right,
I'm in favor of Shantae.
Shantae, stay fresh.
Also, I just gotta give props because again, the studio who made the Studio Trigger is like one of the great studios who made great anime such as Kill la Kill, and yeah, just like the animation of it all, like holy moly, they know good work, and yeah, Shantae with Studio Trigger is like mwah, good. That is just great perfection right there. It's perfect right there.
Good for the trailer. Back to the Smash Brothers thing. This is not fake news. All right, for two reasons. One, the window was blinking and miss it. Keith actually had to tell me, our dear friend King Koopa Keith, since we're name-dropping all the other guest hosts we've had on this show, King Koopa Keith mentioned it to me. He's like, you didn't see that? I'm like, well, see what? No, go back to the bedroom scene and pause it. And that window is real for two reasons. One, it's reverse Smash symbol, which is perfect because the opening shot is you looking through the window into Shantae's bedroom, which should be a line for another joke, but I will digress. And then it looks exactly like it, minus maybe the width of the horizontal board, but it's perfectly placed. It is perfectly placed as a Smash symbol. They could have easily just done the cross formation or a different formation or the prison bars formation. No, they went reverse Smash for the symbol. Shantae and Smash. Confirmed.
I looked at that and not for one second did I think that was going to be a Smash Bros. That was a Smash Bros. Teaser.
Half
I mean,
of
maybe
Twitter disagrees
make
with
me
you.
Feel stupid, But I think that's just because Shantae was, I would say, even more demanded than Shovel Knight. Like,
I think
from
so.
The indie realm.
Yeah.
And I think people are reading into it too much. It just looked like a window to me. Like, that's a cartoon window. That's not a, like, the Smash Cross is not, like, an odd design. Very, very
right,
generic.
Right.
But it's too perfectly placed, Tyler. It's too perfectly placed. And again, blink and you miss it. It's not like they, like, it, there was windows on fire, like what they did with the Splatoon reveal. It was just, it was in there, and then they moved to the next scene. That's the proof right there.
Todd, your eyes, the way you view trailers is like, it is not the way that I view trailers. Because I was, I swear to you, when I saw this trailer, my first thought was that window looked like a Smash logo. Like, I am trained to think that every single video game trailer is actually a Smash character being an
ass. Okay.
This
okay,
from the
okay.
guy
I
who
mean,
believed the Grinch leak, everybody.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah.
I agree,
can
though.
Can we not? Can we stop?
No! No! I mean, you I told me!
Did
hold
Todd
on,
beat
stop,
Tyler
stop.
In Mario Kart? That's the real... Okay, I'll let
stop.
It go. Let it
everyone
go.
Stop. Everyone stop. I told you for weeks that the Grinch was fake, and you're like, Todd, you're just a hater, you're a hater, you're a non-believer, you just can't believe it. And I explained to you in very simple logical terms about why Mock Rider and the Chorus Kids, I gave you Ken, and I said obviously Gina would be great, but I was like, there's no way Mock Rider and the Chorus Kids are going to be in Smash Bros. And you're like, no, Todd, this is real. Lo and behold, I was right.
Todd, Todd, your logic was so bad, though. That was the point.
How is it
bad? I stand by your logic being bad. Because, Todd, because you said those characters are so unlikely. But
they were.
Look who's... Duck Hunt Dog is in the game.
Duck Hunt Dog was the first... Hold on. Duck Hunt Dog was the literal first game on the NES. It was that and Super Mario... No, it was like Super. It was just Mario Bros. It is a classic... staple of the system, and that dog has been mocking us for the last 30 years. So of course they're gonna put him in the game. Rob was an icon of the NES too, as he was a special add-on edition. That was different.
Ice
Mock
climbers.
Rider was one game. The
Ice
Chorus Kids
are
famous
in
Japan.
In
Shantae, on the other hand, has had every one of her games on a Nintendo system in some way, shape, or form, including Half Genie Hero, which is the best one, and the upcoming Shantae 5, whatever. Okay, covering all my bases with Bull over there because I can hear him stewing.
And, I mean, granted, because now, ever since the creation of Smash Bros., we're kind of, like, on that Illuminati thinking that, like, yeah, if you see Smash Bros., it means something, like, a whole big code of all that. Like, perhaps we Nintendo fans are looking at it way too in deeply that, they put a Smash Bros., a Shantae confirmed, and, like, okay, maybe it is, maybe it is not, we'll just have to wait and see. And just for reference as well, because that window, it was always there, before even Smash Bros. I can recall, so I'm just trying to be the voice, of reason here.
Yes,
but, that's when.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to spin zone it into because of the resemblance. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at it, I don't know, like yeah, okay, but like it's a very in my eyes, maybe because honestly, I've never played any of her games. It's such a leap to just be like, yes, she is rightful of. Being the next reveal after Banjo and Hero, I don't know. It's just it doesn't add up to me.
Well, here's my thinking, and it's actually something based on what Tyler said, so he actually can't refute it. we were talking about what could possibly top Banjo, and we're like nothing. Hold on. There's nothing that can top Banjo. Banjo was hype. Banjo is legend. Banjo is love, and we all loved his trailer. Okay, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe you're right. So what's the next best thing if you can't top Banjo, what do you do with the other two characters? You go for what the fans want on another level. And Shantae has been asked for a very long time. And so it would be a perfect way to... It's still a third-party character because it's way forward, all right, which leads into the Smash Brothers cross whatever.
Yep.
You know, it's a fan-requested character. She has a whole bunch of precedents for being on... Nintendo systems, both handhelds and consoles. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
She does add to the
unlike
Capcom.
The Grinch League.
She's a Capcom too, isn't she? So that would add to the
original
Mega Man and Street Fighter.
Is she?
I think so. I think she's originally a Capcom.
Oh, okay,
so
maybe originally, not since then, because they went to Kickstarter for Half Genie Hero, and Capcom wouldn't have allowed that. So,
I'm pretty sure on the Game Boy Color ones and like the old ones were
maybe.
Capcom.
Maybe like
yes,
the first
they were.
Ones.
They were.
So you know that kind of. I mean, yeah, I don't think the logic's as faulty as I see what you're saying, Todd, and I do. It does. It's not as unsound logic as you know originally believed, but I still think it's as wishful thinking. We'll see.
Yeah, we got two slots. She could be one of them.
She could. I don't think that trailer will be the be all end all reason, though.
Yes,
we'll
I agree. I'm not going to rule her out, but I don't
good.
Think that trailer.
See,
was
you're
it.
Already making a logical step in the right direction. Although when Shantae gets announced for Smash Brothers, Tyler, the following podcast, I am not going to start the podcast with my usual greeting. I am going to blast Dance Through the Danger, and I'm going to sing it as my tribute to me being right and you being wrong.
Oh, boy.
Bank
oh,
it.
Boy.
Episode 139, July 11th on 7/11 day. I am saying that I will karaoke
remember.
Dance Through the Danger when Shantae is
I'm glad now I have another character to hold my breath to. Every time I see Travis touchdown or Shantae, I have to hold my breath.
Well, Travis has already been denied. Travis has already been denied.
You don't know. Don't know. You can't say it has been denied.
Wait until a new trailer comes out for the No More Heroes.
Yeah,
third.
I guess there is a chance. All right.
We can all agree about Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yes.
Looks godlike.
And,
dear gosh.
Yeah, before we
take it away.
Topic, No. Before we end it off, because also fun fact as well, during the time of this recording, it is indeed the voice actress's birthday of Shantae, Christina V's birthday today, by the time of this recording. So happy birthday, Christina V.
Happy birthday. Thank you for being Shantae. Look forward to hearing you in the next game.
Transition. Christina V got cut as Edelgard, which I wonder why, that was kind of sad. But that brings us into Fire Emblem Three Houses. Take it away, Todd.
All right. Fire Emblem Three Houses Fire Emblem in general, honestly, has had a lot of news coming out recently, including the first English commercial for the game, which for some reason is now not showing up. That's weird. Also, Koei Tecmo, who you might remember made Fire Emblem Warriors, they're actually helping out on the game. But to be clear, they're not working on like graphics or story or whatever. They're actually helping out with the programming because this game is just so freaking huge, which we'll be getting to in a second. But they literally said, without Koei Tecmo, the game would not have been finished in as good a time as it would have been. So he says, and it simply would not have been possible. So thank you, Koei Tecmo, for helping us get the game on July 26th instead of, you know, July 2020, because I would have died. It wouldn't have been pretty. And then the Fire Emblem Three Houses team talked about certain elements of the game that they really enjoyed making, and of course the expansions from what they did with the 3DS. They talked, of course, about how the 3D elements of the game via the HD graphics was allowing them to do much more, such as the battalions aspect. They like having it on console because you can show more text, which if any of you remember Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn, there was a lot of text in those games. So there was that as well. But they also talked about how they wanted to play more into the Shadows of Valentia style of gameplay because in regards to the weapons triangle, because, quote, what we wanted to do in Three Houses is to give player freedom in tutoring their students so that the player can give their favorite students whatever they want in weapons and skills. It helps the player identify with the team they're raising, which I really appreciate because
agreed.
This, yeah.
100% agreed. I mean, I feel that just through the trailers, you can really get the sense that You feel like the teacher, and you're able to kind of guide these students into the class that would make them their best selves in an odd way, because you'll be able to craft them the way you want them to perform on the battlefield. And I would, you know, if you're being strategic about it, you're kind of the path that you choose for them should kind of be the optimal outcome for them. It really all ties together with that teaching mechanic.
Yeah. And then if you remember if you haven't seen it, I mean, the Nintendo E3 Treehouse sessions featuring Fire Emblem Three Houses shows this beautifully as Audrey, my potential future wife, talks about how she molded her students in her way because she knew that she needed more cavalry units or she needed a magic unit, and it really helped her out. So if we have that kind of freedom, we can craft them the way we want to. We're going to get to make our perfect teams, potentially. So, and if you don't, you know, there's always a redo on the playthrough. Which brings us to my personal favorite quote. How long is Fire Emblem Three Houses? Quote, To complete the game with just one of the three houses, it took me 80 hours. I did not skip the dialogue or cutscenes, of course. So if you want to do the three paths, it can take you more than 200 hours, end quote.
Yeah, that's wild and awesome. And I'm going to want to like replay the paths, too, because I'm going to like start probably with the golden deer, even though the blue lions are really speaking to me. And then I'm going to like think, oh, that one was so great. And then I'll play the next one and think, oh, that one was so great. But what is this? Was it as good as the last one? I want to play that one again so I can compare them. And then, you know, it's the whole thing.
Personally, this will be like my, I'm hoping my big, you know, coming party to the Fire Emblem series as I've casually played some of the previous entries, but really have not, like, as it's released, been with the hype, and it's almost intimidating, but in an exciting way, and I'm really excited. I'm excited to have a conversation of which house is the best.
It's
very cool.
I have no idea which house I'm gonna pick. I am watching these videos with great excite, and I might just have to go blue lion just because blue is my favorite color, and of course blue is the color of the greatest lord ever, Ike.
And as Dimitri said, the guy who founded the kingdom of Fargus.
Fargus.
Well, Fargus was the name of a pirate in Fire Emblem 7, so I feel like the nation has to be different. But Fargus. He was known for his bravery, like a lion. And he loved the color blue. That's why it's the blue lions. And his love for blue.
I loved one of his comments. I can't remember his name, but he's a total playboy. He's like, likes women, dislikes jealousy.
Yeah.
It's like, he has his eyes for women and very little else. Oh, that's not true. Okay, yes it is. But no, it's not. I've gotten better.
Sylvain was his name.
Yeah, Sylvain.
Right, Sylvain, the Skirt Chaser. Yeah.
No, I am very excited for this game for multiple reasons. Not just because I love Fire Emblem, it's my favorite Nintendo franchise, and I am so happy that this game is this long, alright? Because from the moment we get Fire Emblem, I have nothing outside of, obviously, Heroes and, I guess, Dr. Mario World now, until August 30th when Astral Chain comes out. So I have the whole month of August just to play Fire Emblem, and it's glorious! All right. This is what gamers dream of when they have a long game, when you know you're going to play it for hours and hours on end, kind of like we were with Smash in December last year. Mm-mm. And, you know, we're waiting for this. And that's why I'm done. It's the 11th. I've got, you know, 15 more days to wait until this game comes out. And thank God that we have Marvel Ultimate Alliance, where that'll totally suck up a week and have infinite replayability as well, for obvious reasons. But everything we're hearing about this game, the trailers, the gameplay videos, the word of mouth that we're hearing, this game is going to be awesome. And Tyler, what was my number one pick in the Nintendo Draft this year?
You said Fire Emblem Three Houses needed to be amazing.
No, I said a masterpiece.
A masterpiece.
Masterpiece. And it looks like we're getting that.
It does. It really does.
It really looks like it will be a surefire masterpiece. It's so exciting.
My only hope is that the good reviews is followed by good sales, which, given the popularity of Heroes, which has crossed a lot of money for Nintendo and the mobile initiative, and the hype and the well placement of this game, I would be very surprised if they didn't get a million in their first week easily.
And heck, if you buy three houses, you also get a free hero and Fire Emblem Heroes. So yes,
that's true.
You get bailiff, 5-star bailiff.
Yeah. Yeah, well. We're close, gentlemen, and definitely going to have to dedicate the main event of 2 weeks from now to Fire Emblem Three Houses, but we just got to hold on until then. I can do it. Maybe. All right. I will distract myself by talking about another game I'm hyped about, Pokemon Sword and Shield, which got another mini trailer this past week, and it revealed new Pokemon and, for the first time ever, new exclusive gym leaders. That's right. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an exclusive gym leader depending on which version you get. So, for example, if you get Pokemon Sword, you're going to face off against Bea, who is a fighting type gym leader. But if you get Pokemon Shield, you're going to get Alistair, who is a ghost-type gym leader who is already breaking Twitter because of his outfit.
I'm just going to say he's a shy guy. He's a little shy
guy. He is literally a shy guy.
That, I was thinking, why does this look so familiar? He's a shy guy! Thank you, Will. Oh, gosh. And then continuing on with this, we have gotten some new Pokemon reveals who I do not have the right article up for. What are their names? We got
Chomper, we got, something like that. But
we got a piece of cream. We got a rock.
Oh, gosh.
Roly-Coly. Roly-Coly.
let me try to find it on Nintendo's Twitter. It's just a... They were really not impressive, these designs.
Yeah, you are not happy with these.
It was literally there. Yeah, so Roly Coly is a rock. It's literally a rock with
actually
it's
turtle.
An eye. Yeah, with an eye, and then where's the cream puff?
What was here we go.
Cream?
All creamy.
It's literally cream.
It's literally cream. And we got a Duraludon, who is a steel type dragon.
Yeah, he was kind of like cool concept. I don't love his design. And then Yamper, which is like, it's a dog.
It's a corgi.
Rabbit.
It's corgi. A corgi. It's a corgi.
Corgi. Yes.
It's a British dog, which is appropriate because Galar is supposed to be Britain.
Yeah, the corgi might be the best one of these.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we got Roly Coly and Duraludon and all that. And there's apparently, if you blink in the right way during the trailer, you're going to see one in the background, but you know, you can't tell.
Kind of down on this game again. This is the lowest I've been on it because I saw, I don't know, it's just a little cut. There was a video of your rival in this game. I forget his name. It was so dopey. He was such a pathetic rival. He chose Sobble. So,
I got to look it up because I remember going on a rant about him.
And how pathetic he is, yeah. So he is a wimp, and they showed his animation. And it literally was the exact same animation that Hal used when he was excited in the last game. And I was just like, I know it's like not a big deal, but that's such a lame animation. Like, make a new one. Make a new animation. Like, why is it copy and paste it from the 3DS? I don't understand. And I just, the graphics just don't do it for me. And I know that I think they're better than what we saw in Let's Go. Hop.
His name is freaking Hop.
Yeah, he's horrible. But I don't think the game looks visually good. I'm sure the gameplay is going to be good, but I'm starting to become a skeptic. Because last, when we had DK DJ on, I was very much on the stop complaining bandwagon. But the more I see, the complainers are so loud that it's hard to kind of, I want to block them out.
Crom
but
chill.
They do make some good points.
Look,
and like, I have to admit, like, the animations are just, they're a little lazy.
But again, we haven't seen the final version of the game.
Sure.
We're only seeing bits and pieces. We've seen, like, what, 10 of the new Pokemon? 15, max?
The new Pokemon outside of Grookey are disappointing to me.
Yeah. So, you know, I disagree with you on the graphics, which, if you recall, dear viewers of NEP, a certain someone wasn't impressed with the Fire Emblem graphics either when he first saw them. And now he's talking about how the game is lit. So,
yeah, well, the graphics still aren't godlike in Fire Emblem. It's just the game looks so good that I don't really care.
In the most recent trailers, they've upped the ante for Fire Emblem with that art style of making it look gorgeous and instill more confidence, whereas Pokemon's somewhat doing the opposite the more we see.
But the difference is that Fire Emblem is 15 days away.
True. I'm on team Don't Complain. I'm very excited for Pokemon.
Thank you.
When I went to pick up my copy of Mario Maker 2, it was empty store. I kind of went in at an off time, and the guy behind the counter was like, "So what do you think about Pokemon?" I'm like, "What about it?" He's like, "You can't catch them all. Like, are you outraged?" I'm like, "Is Gengar in it?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "No, I'm so excited." And I was like, "That's my." "What have you honestly caught them all?" And he's like, "I haven't, but the people out there that are." I was like, "Who of your friends has caught them all?" And he's like, "Well, not since like the first game." I'm like, "So, are you excited?" He's like, he was trying to almost bum me out before I could even like, and I was like, "No, you know what?" But I will agree, in most recent reveals, it is kind of like they're goofy, but that happened with like the keychain one and Y, and I still love that game. So like, I don't know. It's
yeah, look,
it's,
there's always gonna be bad Pokemon. That's just the way it is. And again, Generation 5 is still the worst. But you know, they bounce back with Alola, and you know, they're trying their hardest to make Sword and Shield the best. And regardless of where you fall on the whole gotta catch them all or don't gotta catch them all thing, the game's still gonna be fun. We're in July. They did a 2-minute trailer to show off new things, and they show off four new Pokemon in Gigamaxing, which I honestly admit is actually kind of stupid. But, you know, I still haven't gotten to play test it for myself yet. So
Right.
And they added the Megas for the Y and X as well. I thought originally that was going to be silly, and I loved it.
Digimon.
So,
hello.
Yeah. So go ahead. Look, sorry.
No. Because like with that new feature, like a lot of like people is basically saying is like, dude, it's basically a mega evolution. It, like, it changes new forms, and it's just like that cream becomes a little giant cake, which apparently like the cream itself is meant for absolute defense. It's like, what?
Yeah. All I have to say is never forget Vanillice. And then its evolved form where there was two of them stuck together somehow. Because that makes total sense. Alright. So again, just give it time. We're in July. There's going to be more epic trailers. I would be very surprised if there wasn't another Pokemon Direct about Sword and Shield where they're going to show off more. Like, already fans are in love with the new characters, the head of the Galar, you know, Pokemon Battle Company or whatever, and his assistant who...
Both
of them are clearly evil. Clearly.
Yeah, that's just the aura about those two. Like, as in the face, like, oh, jeez, why the heck does this remind you of a Saturday afternoon cartoon?
Yeah, it's like, because one's too happy, so clearly he's evil, and then the other one is clearly bored, which totally makes her the evil assistant. So, yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. All right, before, I also forgot about one Pokemon story that, or sorry, Fire Emblem story that Tyler, I know, will enjoy. Tyler, pop quiz. What was the Fire Emblem game that saved the franchise?
Awakening.
That would be Awakening, correct, on the 3DS. And here's the thing. Despite its making millions, despite it becoming its own little mini cultural phenomenon, especially with Lucina and Crom and Robin, no one at Nintendo or Intelligent Systems really knows why.
Which
it's
is
so
this
well.
Story. I'm sorry, I shouldn't cut you off. It's just so weird.
It is.
Because I saw it and I feel like somebody asks them, why was Awakening so successful? Like, once every 6 months?
Pretty much.
And, like, I feel like until right now, they've always had, like, a well-thought-out reason. And now they're like, you know what? We don't know.
Yeah.
No, they said before that they put everything into it. They put everything they had, all these ideas that they wanted to put in, because they thought it might be the last game. So they put in a ton of different ideas, and that's what made it successful. Like, what do they mean they don't know? They said they've given the reason many
this
times.
Was the recent person who got asked this was the director of Three Houses, Toshiyuki Kusakihara, and he said, quote, to tell you the truth, it was a very big surprise. To tell you more, I can say I honestly still don't understand why it was such a success. As we didn't make any change to our philosophy to make Awakening like it, to be liked outside Japan. I still don't know why it's so popular. It's strange, end quote.
I think it's two things. The fandom and waifus. I think that's great. And husbandles.
It was well advertised. Yeah. I mean, it was well advertised.
That too.
I didn't know anything about Fire Emblem outside of Marth and Roy and Ike from Smash. But I saw ads for Awakening. Yeah. And sometimes, like, a good visuals just kind of hook you. And they had a great, like, all the trailers were good. I mean, that's why I was successful.
Yeah, that's how I got into Path of Radiance, was the trailer they had at Meijer when I played the demo. And I was like, oh, I gotta get this game. So, but it's just, I just love that the honesty is like, I don't know. I don't know why it was so successful. I'm not complaining. We got to make this game, but just like, it's strange. I don't know why. So, yeah. All right,
go with Roy. Roy's our boy.
He is our boy.
All right, two more pieces of news. Number one, there was apparently a Earthbound game almost made for the GameCube.
Yeah, this was interesting.
I didn't hear about this.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Look it up.
Yeah, it's all you, Todd.
No, I was like, go ahead. You're the Earthbound guy.
No, I saw you link the article to me, but was it a third-party title, right?
Yeah, it was like, I think they were working with Bandai or whatever. I'll look it up. But
yeah, there has been so many, like, Earthbound almost appeared on the N64. Earthbound almost appeared on GameCube. Earthbound.
Yep.
I wish that we had another Earthbound game. This just makes me think, like, that was so long ago, but I wonder if people are still pitching, like, hey, I got this idea for a revival. That franchise was so wacky, and I feel like it's such a moment of its time, but I would love a modern take on it. I would think that there would be a lot to say in a fourth Earthbound game.
All right, here we go. It was actually just Namco, before it was Bandai Namco. He goes, Baten Kaitos, director, a former developer of Namco, who's now at Monolith Soft, revealed that he almost had made an Earthbound game for the Nintendo, the GameCube, yeah, and it was actually based on of an upcoming book or something like that. He goes, all right, here we go. I'm looking forward to the upcoming book about Iwata-san, of course, the late Mr. Iwata, who has been gone for the last 4 years now. I met with him and his Toyo-san at the same time. It was back in 2003 when there were talks between Namco and Nintendo about a GameCube version of Mother. I was happy to come up with a visual concept, and when I went to Aoyama, Iwata-san was also present. Toyo-san didn't seem interested. He felt it was a little strange, and yet we continued talks. They said, I wonder if Iwata-kun has any ideas. He seemed flabbergasted. He had an aura of something akin to, ah, jeez. In the end, nothing came of it, but Itosan enjoyed the felt-like recreations of 1980s America that I had come up with. he showed some images of the, which, and yeah, it looks weird. It almost looks like what Yoshi's Crafted World and Woolly World were back in the day, or back in the day, like one of them came out this year. But you know, it was like, it was not hand drawn. It was like felt made.
Right.
It was still an RPG. So yeah.
That would have been awesome. I meant to say that earlier, and I completely forgot. Woolly World is the cutest thing I've ever seen. If I ever have a dog that's my own in the future, I'm going to name it Poochie, I think.
Just so I'm clear, did you mean Woolly World or Crafted World?
I'm playing Woolly World. I have both. Yes, I am 4 years behind. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely Tyler's friend. All right.
Yep. Also, that blew my mind that Satoru Iwata died 4 years ago to today's date. That is kind of mind blowing. I remember that like it was yesterday.
I cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I seriously cried.
I was
like,
it was such a downer.
I literally had to go tell my mom. I had to tell my mom. She didn't know. She didn't care. Obviously, she's not a Nintendo fan outside of buying me games. But I'm just like, I had to tell someone, and my mom was right there. And I'm like, Jesus is gone, Mom. He's such a great man. He's gone. And she was like, she was trying to comfort me in the way a mother would to her son who has no idea what he's talking about. And I was just like, it hit me so hard.
Yeah, I remember I was reading articles about his life for like a week.
Yeah.
Heck, I still remember the trivia that Reggie Fils-Aimé actually did up there for the VGAs. And that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Very emotional.
I will.
A lot of feels.
I will always tear up when I think about this. An artist did a collection of pieces, and it's the Nintendo characters. And they go, "Hey, we gotta get ready. What's going on? He's coming. He's coming." And like they start showing like all the Nintendo characters start gathering together, and then at the end, it's Mario and I think Link welcoming Iwata to heaven, and all the Nintendo characters are greeting. He's like, "Hi, father," and you know, something like that. I'm crying right now. Why are the tears flowing? It's just so beautiful. It's like, oh, I'm like Athena Sykes right now. I'm not crying. All right. See, thanks for bringing that up, man.
Yeah, sorry. We can change the league and talk about Pretty Snow Pinball Princesses, but I thought that was worthy of a shout out.
Stop. Okay, now I'm crying tears of anger. Anyway, but, I do hope that Earthbound comes back. I don't know if it ever will. We're never getting Mother 3 or 4, but you know, we could get a revival. You never know. I mean, the Switch would be the console to do it. All right,
yes,
with the popularity, with everyone wanting more games, with them busting out all their first party franchises within the first 3 years pretty much. We need Earthbound. So why not?
I do think like the old games really were smart. They had very interesting takes on our world. And I think that there is something there. There could be a Mother 4 story at this point in time, which is I don't think there's that person who would make it.
All right, and finally, Animal Crossing New Horizons. The team were talking about certain aspects, including why it was on an island and the multiplayer aspects, and they actually revealed some very interesting things. First they go with the quote, "With the Animal Crossing series, we've always had players moving to a new location that already existed. We wanted to give them a new experience and thought that a deserted island would be perfect. With this theme, players can enjoy gaining a foothold on a new life and developing the island. As you progress, new residents may appear and new facilities will be built. It will eventually start to feel like the familiar Animal Crossing life. In other words, you can enjoy the phase before the place becomes a village this time." And again, I've never been an Animal Crossing player, but I do know about it, and our dear friend Kromcho loves it to death, and I know some of you have played it. But it is an interesting that, you know, they're always trying to make it feel different from the last one. It's, you know, you're moving to a village, and now you're the mayor of a village, and then you went to the campsite, and now you're doing an island, and, you know, you'd think it wouldn't be that much different, but they make it different. So
Right. I still remember the times, like, back in the old Wii U, with that Wii U speaker at City Folk, and, like, yeah, that was kind of an interesting transition from the series as well. And yeah, the way I'm kind of seeing it, I always, like, change each team. Like, again, as you said, from town to mayor to city to now desert island. It's almost like I'm kind of very reminiscent to the Harvest Moon franchise, like how they try to, like, switch the same games, but in a different sense, like an old idea made new, like as Nintendo has always done all these with their other IPs. So with Animal Crossing ends for New Horizons, it just feel like. I can only help but wonder, how does that Nintendo always make these old ideas and just gives a fresh new paint to them? That's like, that's one thing that's so unique about them that you just can't help but respect about them.
Very true.
Yeah, and then of course there is a multiplayer aspect. Quote, "Before, we've had a feature that let families or friends make their own houses and reside in the village on a single system, but they weren't able to play simultaneously. But this time, with one system, you'll be able to live and play in the same village simultaneously," referencing other players. So, I really like this because, you know, they noted that the now classic image of New Horizons was actually made with a bunch of people playing the game together. Like, that was not computer-generated characters. Those were all real characters from the Treehouse team. And so you could have a lot of players on the same island building it up with you, and that sounds like that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, our dear friend Kromcho is very much excited for this game, and even though it's delayed to next year, she's still excited, so... Yeah.
I mean, just the fact of making something, like, really, like, building up an entire island to, like, the paradise that you want, especially with, like, the social aspect of Animal Crossing... Like, it's really appealing, so, which I know that about the fans are very looking forward to, and I personally can't wait to see what they can incorporate in this entry.
Go ahead, please, go.
No, I was gonna say, you know, I'm also, it's like the one series that I've not really gotten into, and nor do I think I would enjoy it if I did play it, but the amount of detail they're putting into this game is kind of mind-blowing. And I know, Will, you're an experienced Animal Crossing fan, so I'm looking forward to your analysis.
The first game, not the experience.
I know. I know you played the first one. So yeah, that was from a previous episode. But I'm very interested in what, like, the actual core fan base is thinks of this, because I mean, just based on everything else for the Switch that's coming out, I mean, the way they're putting the effort in, it looks like it's going to be another just knockout game for the Switch. So maybe I will dabble with it, but it's ways away. Still got Luigi's Mansion 3, which I'm super hyped about, and a bunch of others,
which they
so.
Still haven't. They made a tweet about it today, and they still said
nuts.
Later this year. I'm like, when this year?
I know it's so. It's yeah, but at least it's this year. So
like, yeah. I need to know.
No, I like my schedule organized. I want to know
exactly.
Yeah,
I need to know if I'm going to be buying it in October or December.
Yeah,
okay, I am the host. Yeah. You will tell me. All right, so I guess we can move on to our final topic of the night. Unless you want to talk about Sonic some more, Tyler. You know.
No, right, you know what? I've done enough on that for now.
Yeah?
I'll save it for a future episode.
Uh huh. All right. So obviously, outside of
but wait, I want to hear a little bit more about the Snow Princess.
Oh, stop. Don't you? I will mute you, Will. I will mute you so
the
fast.
The alternative pinball genre doesn't get
Stop.
Enough love.
I can
not.
Mute you all.
Hey, pinball genre is a very niche genre that actually needs more attention.
I'm warning you. Stop.
Also, like Mario Maker more. No. Go ahead.
One more question. It's a fair point. Can we compare Peach Ball to Sonic Spinball, which is better.
Oh, interesting.
You got 5 seconds, or I'm going to mute you all and just continue the main event by myself. I will. don't think I won't. All right, so obviously outside of the big news about obviously Dr. Mario World's release and Animal Crossing, Pokemon, and Fire Emblem, and Shantae definitely being in Smash Brothers, Nintendo has finally, definitively, epically confirmed that there is another Switch model coming out. Hashtag Switch Lite, L-I-T-E. And a lot of people have a lot of different feelings on this device. So together, we will break down our thoughts, feelings, and how well we will think it will do in a Nintendo discussion. Alright, so let's at least start off with what is the Nintendo Lite? Okay, first and foremost, it is indeed a Nintendo Switch, obviously. It is a smaller version of the Nintendo Switch, I think by 1.1 inches in terms of screen. So there's that. And then the Joy-Cons do not detach. That's a key part right there. And it does not have a outlet to or a attachment to hook up to the TV, so there is no port. Mm-mm. And there's, because it's, the Joy-Cons do not attach, you do not have the Joy-Con movement. So
the IR sensor, the gyro monitor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically it's a literal light version of the Switch. And it's gonna have your typical things, you know, your special editions, like there's already been a Pokemon one announced. And
yes, the Sword and Shield design, yes, yes.
Yeah, just said that. But, yeah, so it's interesting because it's definitely a bold choice. And granted, this has been rumored for, what, a year now?
Well, I mean, the rumors technically started 2 years ago when I predicted that the new Switch model, the first thing they would release, would not be an upgrade, but it would be a downgraded handheld version.
You
People
did do that.
Check the tape.
I remember.
Tell your story, Tyler. You called it.
Preach. So, but yes, it is. This is a light version of it, and I don't know. I mean, I'm of two minds on this personally, because on one hand, kind of like the 3DS, or what they did, I guess the 2DS would be the best example, you know, they're basically stripping it down so that those who just want to play the games without no frills, not worrying about it, you know, will I want to play it in handheld mode or on TV mode, which I only do handheld, as you know. So if I hadn't gotten a Switch by now, if I was somehow that brain dead or, you know, poor, and didn't have a Switch, I would have at least considered this, because it's only $199. So it's $100 less, and technically you're not missing too much. It's the same graphics, it's just a slightly smaller screen. And, you know, the only real drawback, if you're really thinking about, oh, it's got the D-pad. It's got an actual D-pad this time, instead of the buttons like before with the main models. But the only real downside is because that, since it doesn't have the motion controls, you technically cannot play like 5 or 6 games that are currently out for the Switch, like 1-2 Switch, because that's obviously definitely Joy-Con controlled, and a certain other games. But 5 out of thousands, you know, isn't too bad. So, but it's definitely curious, because this is another situation like what they did with the new 3DS XL, where they had the increased graphics. Now they're going to have to make sure, or at least impose to their developers, saying, hey, if you want to make it for the Lite, you need to make sure that you don't have, you know, motion controls, and, you know, that you don't need to detach the Joy-Cons in any way. And that's not limiting per se, but, you know, there might be people that want that option, and then thus they'll only be on the Switch and not Switch Lite. And that's why I think, based on what I'm seeing, the Switch Lite is getting a bit of a mixed response online, because some people are saying, seeing it as just, you know, another Switch model, but, you know, for the maybe the younger crowd, the ones who are always on the move, and then other ones are seeing us as pointless. But I'm not sure personally what I think. I think I need to see just a little bit more of it, but I'm definitely not getting it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm fine just playing handheld mode on my regular one and having the slightly bigger screen. So I'm personally fine not getting it, but I guess there are people. Nintendo obviously thinks there's a market. All right, Nintendo doesn't do anything unless they feel there is a market for it, even when they're wrong. All right, they at least feel there is a market for it. So I guess we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, for me, like the fact, like this in regards to the size of that, they said like it's basically one Joy-Con less smaller, which I'd like try to find out. Like one thing that, as I said, it's basically meant for the mobile people. Like again, as Nintendo is basically trying to focus on their mobile initiative, like might as well make a Switch unit that is pretty much essentially a phone, but like a full-fledged dedicated console. Like I don't know, like the Vita or with their 3DSs. And regarding the price point, I think that's probably like if you're really on a budget and if, for example, like really don't want to like pay like extra $100 and like don't want like the features like hooking up on TV or like the gyro monitor, the IR sensors, then this is probably is like the budget option if you're like really are strapped up and you just want to play Switch games right away right now. And for me, it feels like okay, it's an option, but I don't really need it per se because one, if I'm willing to spend $100 more on the much more bigger, like so-called definitive quote unquote a version of the system, then I'll just get the full-fledged Switch, which I can actually hook up on my TV. Because yeah, I would love to have that option at least to like yeah play either on the go or on my TV, just because again, it is the hybrid console. So to make a mobile, strictly mobile version of the Switch is like okay, there's an option, but I personally won't be getting it because like aside from like I don't know, like new little color schemes, yellows, turquoise and gray, and that new design for Pokemon Sword and Shield is like okay, it's just like it's like a dedicated handle. So for me is like okay, it's an option, but for people that wants to like get it, I say like definitely hold off if you can spare that $100, especially. And overall, it's just like it's kind of like Nintendo's motives of trying to get every user to own a Switch, but that is one of their goals, is to have every single household to own a Switch, you know, every single family to own a Switch. So I think that's kind of like what they're really driving to right now. For but
I
for
think that this device is just it's disappointing for what it is. I think it's a little expensive. One, at I
oh.
mean it's $100 less, which is, you know, it's nice and all, and I'm sure that that'll make the difference, and I do think it'll sell really, really well. All the data that they release on how people play the Switch shows that a lot of people are like Todd and they just play it 80% or more in mobile form. So you know, you at that point, you know, I guess HD Rumble would be nice, but you don't really need it, and you're really using it as a handheld. So I think it'll sell really well. But the battery life is hardly improved from the actual Switch. It's only an hour more in both estimations of like the maximum going from 6 hours to seven, and then the minimum of 2 hours to three. And that's a real problem for a handheld exclusive device. I mean, I just. My your 3DS, the 3DS had good battery life and not great, but it would last for 7 hours, I would say.
As long as you don't use the 3D mode, then yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it had some kick to it, and this really doesn't. I don't think that it looks good visually. I think I've seen people fawning over the turquoise color. That I think is the best look for it. But the actual Nintendo Switch looks like such a sleek piece of tech. I mean, even, you know, technology moves so fast. It really did 2 years ago, and it still does now. It looks like something that you would. It's a serious piece of hardware. Whereas the Switch Mini really does look more like a child's toy. I thought it was interesting that the advertisement again featured a prominent amount of adults. I mean, yes, there were more kids in this one than in the original Switch announcement, but I don't really think this is an adult's device. I do think that Nintendo would be smarter to really target it towards kids. It's a Switch that doesn't switch, so I just the name even I just it doesn't click for me. I do think people will buy it because it is a cheaper way to, and it probably is a little sturdier. It's a cheaper way to get your kid Pokemon specifically this holiday season. The release in September
that's what I was thinking.
is
Yeah.
yeah, the release in
It's
September is
screaming,
interesting.
hey, anyone who doesn't, you know, own a Switch yet but wants Pokemon.
Yes, I mean that's really what it is. I'm almost surprised that they didn't launch it alongside Pokemon, because to me that is just what it seems to be for.
I think if you notice, the release date is September 20th, and
Yes.
what comes out on September 20th?
Something.
Link's
Something.
Awakening.
Link's Awakening,
Which
yes.
is, of course,
I can't believe
very
it said that
kiddish.
scene. Yes, true. Good point. I didn't realize that. I should have put that together.
Yeah,
That's why I'm the host.
I
Hey, good work, Todd.
Todd,
Good
way to
work on
flex
you.
your host muscles. That's why we
Thank
have
you.
you.
You had
I'm
to. You had
the
to.
host!
You hadn't flexed it enough this episode, but there it was. Bang.
Hold on. Tyler, I hate to just burst your bubble, but there's a non-Nintendo news item that you need to look at Twitter at right now.
Oh my gosh. Is it
Breaking
Russell
news.
Westbrook getting
Yes.
traded? Oh,
Yes.
I saw that. I did
Oh,
see that.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That was exciting. That was exciting.
That's
We'll
curious
edit
for
this
sure.
out.
My Denver Nuggets, just when you think they're second in the West and on the verge of
Oh, they're
yeah.
way. Okay,
finally
that's a
having a
terrible
crash
move for
course with the
Houston.
Sixers. Every super team is it's brutal.
It is. It really
All
is.
right. Anyway, back to the main. Back to the show. Okay, back
Yeah,
to the show.
I'd love to chime in on my takes. Unless, sorry, Ty, you still
Oh, no, it's all you. It's all you.
Yeah, this is going to be kind of a combination of what everyone said. You guys all made excellent points, and I feel pretty much the same way about it in the general scope that I really don't need it. I think I'm in the minority that I prefer the TV. Like,
Oh, same.
unless I'm traveling for work, which I do, I go to San Diego a bunch, and I have a you know a couple of trips at the end of the year, I almost always have it glued in my TV. I love it. You know, I play Odyssey, Smash, every single game. Like my brother and a lot of people play Breath of the Wild strictly in handheld.
Me.
You know, I like everything. I brought it down to the shore thinking I would play Breath of the Wild in handheld, and I was like, no, I want this on my big screen. So that's the main thing that for me, I'm out. But I will say there is a euphoric rush in buying a new Nintendo console. And the second I saw that turquoise one, I went, oh man, I just want that to have it in the collection. Not even to play it. I, for some reason, that turquoise one popped to me. I think it looks cool. I do think the other ones do look like kids' toys. I don't know why I feel so strongly about that one looking so sleek, and then the yellow one and the other ones looking like little mini guys. But I do think that one's sweet. So
no,
if
I
anything,
think turquoise is the
props
best.
to turquoise. Yeah. Another issue with it is. That I have, I mean, you know, like you said, I kind of, you know, we think it's more geared towards kids, but, you know, I have like very long, big hands. And even in handheld mode, after a while, I'm extremely uncomfortable. I'm very curious how the dexterity of my movement with the light will be. Like, because if it's, I feel like if it's any, you know, I know it's not on paper, it doesn't sound like a big difference, but I feel like in my hand, even though I can still play my 3DS okay, I feel like it's going to feel awkward and like I'm going to drop it. So I'm really curious how it feels, because I think that could really make or break it, but I do think it'll sell. Like again, like you know, there's they see a market for it. There are a lot of games coming out that people could play, you know, and they wouldn't really care too much about, like you're not looking for the overly unnecessary detailed stuff like in Smash or whatever, but and then maybe people want like that Smash with 3DS on the go vibe. I don't know, but to me, from a practical use, it seems kind of silly and like random. Although I understand it, but yeah, so very interesting that they went with a downgrade instead of the upgrade. I will be anxiously waiting to see if they upgrade and how big the differences will potentially be. Since considering this, they're significant in a sense that you know you'll buy it or not, but they're not like a deal breaker. I'm curious if the upgrade will only be like, hey, only a little bit bigger and a little bit better graphic specs and pretty much the same thing. And then I'll be like, all right, well, I'm glad I have my original. But yeah, I've thought a lot about it, and I think it's an interesting play by Nintendo. But that turquoise, man, if that one looks good in person, it fits my hands. I might just have to get it just to say, you know, it's next to the Amiibos and the golden 3DS, you know?
Yeah.
We will find out.
Now, of course, ironically, not long after the Lite was revealed, Nintendo also stated that the regular Switch is going to get a physical upgrade of some kind. So maybe we will get a Switch Pro Mega Lite or Mega Buff. There we go. Mega Buff plus Knuckles, you know, that kind of a thing. So, but more than likely, this is the only thing being released this year. So maybe by E3 next year, we'll have the Super Nintendo Switch. Boom!
That's kind of a bit of redundant if I think about it.
Yes.
I think that the stars are aligning for this to happen, and they'll crush it if they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't knock the
and
Super.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, sorry.
Don't knock the super. So shut up, Will.
And yeah, I like most likely that's what I feel like. That's the general consensus of the public right now, because like since the next Breath of Wild 2 is being made right now, perhaps it would be the perfect time to like really co-sell it with co-promote it for the new Nintendo Switch, the Super Nintendo Switch, or the Super Switch Pro, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would probably make a like sense. Yeah.
As long as they don't do what the 3DS did and have that such. Now, if they want to improve the graphics on a handheld to where it renders things a little better, which I noted in my Xenoblade Chronicles 2 review, where I had like this time where it would get really pixelated. It was still an amazing game overall, as Tyler notes all the time. But if they wanted to boost the graphics to fix that, then I'm down with it. As long as they don't have the whole, oh, you need to have the Super Switch Pro HD turbo model plus Knuckles, to play this game. As long as they don't do that, I'm okay with the pro version. It's like the Xbox One X, right? You could play it on, 4K over there, but if you just have the regular Xbox One, you can still play all the games on the system. If they do that, I'll be okay with it. Just don't have that tier level, because then, fans like me will get mad. Because I still haven't played the original Xenoblade Chronicles because I didn't have the right 3DS to play. And obviously didn't get it on
I
Wii,
remember
obviously.
that
So.
being such a. I remember that being such. I actually worked. That was like the tail end of me working at GameStop, and people coming in being absolutely mind blown. Like, why can't I play Xenoblade on this? And I'm like, no, you need a new one. No, I
Yeah.
haven't. No. And it was no one could process it. I really hope they don't do that. I'm with you.
On the Shulk note, I was rewatching some of my favorite Honest trailers, mainly the Nintendo games and all of that. And they were doing a Super Smash Bros. 4. And which introduced Shulk into the game, the guy goes, "How many of you knew who Shulk was before the game came out? Congratulations, you're Japanese." I'm like, "No, I'm not." No, I'm not. I was like, "I pay attention to the internet, Honest Trailers guy." So, but yeah, this is certainly interesting news. And again, we're like, 2 months away from release, basically. So. I'm very curious to see how well this sells. I mean, I think that I'm pretty sure the 2DS did well. So clearly
Oh,
these.
2DS did well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
So,
yes, yes.
another thing. That was what I was going to say. You said it earlier, too. This is also a. This is for every person who bought a 2DS, saw that release, and went, "This is perfect. I'm
There you
now
go.
ready to buy a Switch."
Yep.
Totally,
It's just
totally
like an
agree.
evolution.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
2DS evolved to Switch Lite.
Do you
So.
want it? And it's just like you said, Tyler. I didn't even think about that, and it's in the title. Like, it's a Switch that doesn't switch. Hey, do you want a 3DS that doesn't have 3D
Yeah,
graphics? Here
exactly.
you go. That's what this is. It's a
But at least
Switch
they
with
called it.
3DS,
Hold
so
on.
it's just it's a DS.
Hold on, but at least they called it the 2DS. All right. So there wasn't like no like 3DS Lite. It was 2DS. All right.
It would
This
be hilarious though if they then just named it the no Switch.
the non-Switch. Oh gosh, we're horrible people. But then again, Will is the one playing Sengen Kagura. Moving on.
Said Sankagura, get it right.
No, I will not get it right, Will. Pinball should not be described that way. Anyway, with
Control
that, we are
machine
ending
can
this
still
episode
say.
of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast.
Which Nintendo mobile game are you most excited for? We asked that 2 long weeks ago, and 54% of you said Pokemon Masters, 23% said Dr. Mario World, and 23% said Mario Kart Tour. Classic
Oh.
Pokemon, always dominant.
I'm curious now that if we did this with, are you enjoying Mario World, that a lot of people would say yes,
I
but
wonder, yeah.
we'll maybe next time. But obviously, our poll question is about Sonic the Hedgehog. Do you think that? No, I'm just
Yes.
joking. Do you trust them now? Be prepared.
No.
No. Heck, no. Heck, no. 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 No.
How
All
about
right.
I got one. How wrong is Todd about Spider-Man Far From Home?
Not
Oh,
at all. And you know
Very
what?
wrong, kind of
And
wrong,
if you
mostly
want an
wrong.
opinion outside this podcast, our very own Sarah at Outer Haven gave it 3.5 out of 5.
Oh
So
my gosh,
suck it.
that's probably
And
it.
she's the head of the TV and
That's
film
probably
department.
Sarah
You
lost a lot of
watch it.
credibility with me.
You watch it. Sarah will
Okay,
kill you.
curious what Sarah was upset with. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Again, it wasn't a bad movie. It's
It was
not
amazing.
even close to the bottom where Ant-Man and the Wasp is. I'm just saying that I have never cringed so much in a Marvel movie outside of the first 10-15 minutes of Spider-Man Far From Home. And the teachers need to die. Why was J.B. Smoove even in the movie?
He was awesome. He's
He was
so
horrible.
funny.
Oh, as a man of science, I believe it's witches. And he kept saying the line. That's not comedy. That's not comedy. Anyway, moving on. The poll
and we
question,
depend heavily on that
the
style
poll
of comedy
question,
here on NEP.
The poll question is, do you think you will get a Nintendo Switch Lite?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No. I need to think about it. And then as a second question, how wrong is Tyler about All right. So,
and just before we sign off, also just a reminder as well. Please go play Tetris 99 this weekend because you'll get a free Splatoon theme before we start in the official last Splatoon Splat next week.
Yes,
so
it will.
Sure
next week
Tetris
is going to be a lot about Splatoon, and I do promise you that. So it's going to be a fun time. So Captain Toad, again, we thank you for coming back on the show. We hope to have you back on soon.
Yes, thank you again for having me. It's always a pleasure. You guys are awesome. I really enjoy it, and it's just great. Thank you so much.
Well, keep enjoying your time in Super Mario Maker 2, and you know, whenever Tyler thinks you are perfect for a show like you were today, we'll get you back on, all right?
Wonderful.
All right. So, for Captain Toad Taylor, Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. So you've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.